الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأنزل الذين ظاهروهم من أهل الكتاب من صياصيهم وقذف في قلوبهم الرعب فريقا تقتلون وتأسرون فريقا صدق الله العظيم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. When the coalitions had left Medina Munawwara and they returned back to their homes, then it was obvious that the Jews of the Banu Qurayza will be extremely terrified. They would be frightened and they would be very concerned about what would their outcome be, because they had traitored Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had broken their pledge and agreement with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they had sided with the disbelievers, resulting in a lot of stress, difficulty and fear for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So they were extremely frightened, scared and worried about what was going to happen to them next. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had returned to their homes after the Fajr Salah. They were tired. They removed their weaponry, etc. It was a Wednesday morning. Around Zuhr time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taking a bath. He was in the house of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. He had washed his Mubarak hair, and after taking a bath, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to comb his hair. Whilst combing his hair, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for some incense to be brought, some perfume which is burnt, so good smell comes out from there. Obviously, they were out in the open for a long period of time, so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was combing his hair, and after combing half of his hair, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha says that I heard someone making salam from outside. At a little distance, I hear someone making salam. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this voice, he jumped up quickly. He was a bit shocked, and he jumped up quickly and he rushed out of the home. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha says that I was looking through the cracks of the door. Person that is making salam and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has gone to meet. She says that when I looked, I saw a person that resembled the Sahabi Sayyiduna Dihya Kalbi radiallahu an. So she was under the impression that it was most probably Dihya Kalbi radiallahu an. He was wearing his armor, wearing a black silken turban. He was covered with dust on his body, on his face. And he was riding a white mule. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to him. Whilst he was talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was dusting the dust off his face, off his head. And then he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Aw qad wada'tumu as-silah? Have you already taken out and removed and placed down your weapons?" So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied in the affirmative, "Yes, we have done that." So then he goes on to say that we, the Malaika, have not put down our weapons as yet. We have chased the enemy, the Kuffar that had come. We chased them right till Hamra'ul Asad, which is quite a distance from Medina Munawwara. We chased them to ensure that they do not return. And now we have come and we are not going to remove our weapons. Rather, we are moving immediately now to the Banu Qurayza. And it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْمَسِيرِ إِلَى بَنِي قُرَيْضَى. Allah is instructing you that you should also leave now and go to the Banu Qurayza. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, understanding that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were tired, approximately half a month or more than that, they were protecting Medina Munawwara. They were going through a lot of difficulty. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam interceded on behalf of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. This Dihya Kalbi, the person in the form of Dihya Kalbi, was actually Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intercedes and he says that my sahaba are tired. Can you give us a few days? He says, no, it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you should proceed immediately. And then he leaves. He leaves with a speed. Obviously he was riding an animal. And as he was riding off, then dust rose. As he rode off, dust rose. Anas radiallahu anhu says, I can still picture the dust that came up in one of the streets of Medina Munawwara through the riding of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back in the home, she asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is that? What was the matter? I saw a person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, did you see? So she said, yes, I saw Dihya Kalbi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it was not Dihya Kalbi. It was actually Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, when he would come in a human form, then he would come in the form of this sahabi, Sayyiduna Dihya Kalbi radiallahu anhu. And he explained to her that he has given us the instruction, the command, that we have to leave and we have to go to the Banu Qurayza. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu anhu and asked him to announce, Man kana sami'an muti'an, fala yusalliyanna al-asra illa fi Bani Qurayza. That whoever will listen and obey, then whoever is such that he wants to listen and obey, then he should make sure that he performs his Asr Salah in Banu Qurayza. Meaning he should hurry. It was the time of Zuhr. He should hurry and he should get ready quickly. And Asr should be performed at Banu Qurayza. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent someone to the different parts of Medina Munawwara, going all over. It could be Bilal radiallahu anhu or someone else to make an announcement. Ya khayl Allahi irkabi, ya khayl Allahi irkabi, which was the call of jihad. That, O horsemen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mount your horses and get ready to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can well imagine the tiredness of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. A similar thing had happened after the battle of Uhud. They had just returned. They were wounded, they were tired, they were exhausted. And immediately, there was a call once again for them to leave. And Sahaba radiallahu anhum left. Regarding that incident, Allah says, أَلَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ, that those that said, those that answered the call of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So once again, when this call was made, although they were tired and exhausted, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, once again, they put on their armor, they put on their weaponry. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself wears his armor, he wears his helmet, he takes his weapons, and he rides a horse. The name of the horse which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rode on was Luhayf. Certain narrations say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rode a donkey by the name of Ya'fur. It's possible that part of the journey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rode on a horse, and part of the journey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rode on a donkey. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum around him. 36 horses Sahaba radiallahu anhum had at this occasion, and there were 3,000 Sahaba in number. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was proceeding towards the Banu Qurayza, he passed by a group of the Banu Najjar. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees that they were waiting, ready with their arms. So he asked them, Hal marra bikum ahad? That how did you know that you should get ready? Did anyone pass by this way to inform you that we need to go to Banu Qurayza? So they say, yes. Dihya Kalbi came riding on his mule and he told us to get ready. So we got ready and he also told us that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming very soon. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains to them, that was not Dihya Kalbi, that was actually Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam that got you ready. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sent Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu ahead of the army with a small group as the front of the army, as the forward of the army. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu with the flag. The flag that was used in Khandaq was still intact. It was not opened. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him with that same flag. When Ali radiallahu anhu and that group of Sahaba radiallahu anhu reached the forts of the Banu Qurayza, they realized that now they were in for trouble, they were in for problems, and they are going to be dealt with. So, na'udhu billah, they began abusing and hurling insults against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and against the respected wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum did not respond to these insults. The only thing they said to them, As-sayfu baynana wa baynakum, that the sword will decide between us and between you. We're not going to speak today, the sword is going to speak. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and he camped near the Faida, Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not to go near the fort. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him that perhaps you have heard some insults regarding me. Obviously, he did not inform Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says to Ali radiallahu anhu, perhaps you have heard some insults regarding myself, therefore you do not want me to go ahead. But remember, لَوْ رَأَوْنِي لَمْ يَقُولُوا مِنْ ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا. If I have to go and they have to see me in person, they won't have the courage to say any of those things. They said it in my absence, but they will not be able to say this in my presence. Then the Sahabi Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu, Ansari Sahabi, one of the leaders of the Ansar, he goes ahead and he addresses the Jews of the Banu Qurayza. He says to them, Ya A'da Allah, O enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, La nabrahu an hisnikum hatta tamutu ju'a. We will remain here until you die out of starvation. If you're not prepared to surrender and to submit and leave your fort, you will die out of starvation. Innama antum bimanzilati tha'labin fi juhr. You are like a fox in a hole. And you will remain there. You will remain there in this fort of yours until you are prepared to surrender. So they remind him that we have a very long-standing relationship. We have ties that we had between you and between us. He says to them, La ahda baini wa bainakum, wala illan wala dhimma. Now there is no type of agreement, no type of pledge. After you have broken your pledge and your allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you cause such harm and such hurt and such torture and such difficulty to the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no pledge that we have between us. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came closer to the fort of the Banu Qurayza. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu was shielding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called out in a loud voice, taking the names of some of the leaders, and he says to them, Ajibu ya ikhwatal qirada wal khanazir wa abadat al tahut. That respond to me, O brothers of swines and monkeys. Now the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the word swines and monkeys, because many, many years, hundreds of years previously, perhaps in the time of Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, these Jews were transformed into swines and monkeys because of their wrongdoings. Because of their wrongdoings, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had come upon them, and they were transformed into monkeys and swines. So, part of their own family members were transformed into swines and monkeys. So they are the relatives of these swines and monkeys. Therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed them in this way. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to them, Hal akhzakumullah wa anzala bikum niqmata. Has Allah disgraced you and sent his punishment to you? And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to them that, were you insulting me? They deny it blankly. They deny it and they say, no, we were not insulting you. This is wrong reports that have reached you. Nevertheless, they took oaths also, just to prove that they did not insult Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we had explained, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had instructed the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Bilal radiallahu anhu made the announcement, Man kana sami'an muti'an, fala yusalliyanna al-asr illa fi bani Qurayza. That everyone must ensure that they perform the asr salah in Banu Qurayza. Now, Sahaba radiallahu anhum prepared and they left. En route, some Sahaba radiallahu anhum, as they were traveling, en route the time of Asr came. Now when the time of Asr came, some Sahaba felt that it is Asr time and we have to perform our Salah. So they performed the Salah en route and then they proceeded immediately. Other Sahaba radiallahu anhum felt that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's instruction was that we must perform our Asr Salah in Banu Qurayza. So they said, even if our salah becomes qada, this is the explicit direct instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we must perform our asr salah in Banu Qurayza. So they allowed the salah to become qada, and they went and performed the salah in Banu Qurayza after the sun had set. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam hears the practice of both the sahaba radiallahu anhum, now let us understand that the sahaba radiallahu anhum, they would do everything to fulfill the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But they understood this instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam differently. Some sahaba felt that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's direct and clear instruction is that our asr salah must be performed there. So even if the time of asr comes, because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed us we must perform our asr there, then it will be permissible for us now in this situation that we make our asr qada and we fulfill this instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and perform our asr salah there. So these were the direct words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they wanted to fulfill the command of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the T as Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had explained. The other sahaba radiallahu anhum understood it differently. They felt that what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant was that we must try and hurry and reach there by asr time. We must reach there by asr time. It does not mean that if we're not there by asr time and salah time comes, then we must make our qada, our salah qada. What Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant is we must go quickly. We are going quickly. We are fulfilling the command of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam by hurrying and going. However, it is the time of asr. It's the command of Allah to perform our salah. Now this command will come into play and we will have to fulfill this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will perform our asr and then we will continue. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about the practice of these two groups, that one group performed salah en route and the other group made the salah qada and they came to Banu Qurayza. Although the group that performed the salah and continued, they understood the real instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They understood what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant, and they were more correct. They were more correct because they performed the asr salah and they also fulfilled the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by going quickly. But it was the time of asr and they had to perform the asr salah. So all the ulama of the opinion that they were more correct in their understanding, and they had understood the real intention of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard that the one group performed the salah, the other group did not perform the salah, falam yu'annif ahadan minhum, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not reproach any of the groups. Meaning, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say that what you did was wrong. The reason why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say what they did was wrong was that their intention was to fulfill the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They did not understand it fully. They did not understand it in context, but their intention was to fulfill this command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after all, they were also sahaba radiallahu anhum. They also were privileged to be the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a slight misunderstanding from their side. There was a slight error in their side, on their side, in understanding these words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not reproach them for what they had done. Although, as we explained, those that performed the asr and continued, they were more correct in their practice and in what they had done. From here, we understand a very important principle. The ulama explain in detail. This is a very, very important principle. That at times, one statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can be interpreted in different ways. It can be interpreted in this way, and it can be interpreted in the other way. Like how the group of sahaba radiallahu anhum, they both were sahaba, but both of them interpreted this one statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in different ways. So we find in the ummah that we get different madahib. We get the Hanafis, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, different madahib. Sometimes people say, what's this difference? Why is this difference there? It's not that any one of them, na'udhu billah, are going against the statements of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, they have understood the statements of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam differently. Like how these sahaba radiallahu anhum, they understood, both were sahaba, but they understood this one statement of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in different ways, and this statement could be explained in both ways as well. But obviously, one was more correct in their understanding. So similarly, we will find that the different madahib, the different imams, understood the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, understood the ayat of Quran in different ways, and therefore they interpreted it in different ways, and therefore we find different practices in the ummah. But we cannot say that one is incorrect for they are going against the Quran and hadith. No, they are understanding the Quran and hadith in a different way, and this is what understanding they are taking out from the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then we find later on in the ummah, There will be situations where the ulama, the senior ulama of the ummah will also have differences. Within the parameters of Sharia, where Sharia gives a leeway for differences in secondary issues, not in issues relating to belief, etc. In secondary issues, there is leeway for difference, and we find there will be difference in the ummah. Like how there was this difference among the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, there will be difference in the ummah later on. So this is an important principle which we understand from the way Sahaba radiallahu anhum responded to this one statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and understood the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. During the days that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent laying siege and surrounding the fort of the Banu Qurayza, Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu an had sent loads of dates, kajur, for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and this was their food. Their food was kajur, and it was on this occasion that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, ni'mat ta'amu at-tamr, what an excellent food kajur is. Today we find it difficult to break our food, to break our fast with kajur. And although we're going to have a full meal, thereafter, we still feel that no, to eat kajur is too little. We're not saying we have to only suffice on kajur. But the point is that they lived on kajur. This was their food. They were not going to have another meal thereafter. This was their food. They lived on dates for that duration. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, ni'mat ta'am wa tamr. What excellent food kajur and dates are. Inshallah, we will continue. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdihi. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.